Hello and welcome to Father Figures, a show about parenting with an emphasis on fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. I'm your host, Stephen Amaya, and here is where we explore the griefs and the joys, the risks and rewards of being a dad. A warning, this episode contains mention of suicide and sexual abuse, so if you are inclined toward triggers in these areas, you may want to avoid it. This is unusual for the program, yet I'm not surprised because my method, as you may know, is to go out and find a father or someone who has experience with a father. The search for a guest has a certain randomness to it, and what I'm learning is that dramatic stories are everywhere. Every house could have a cave painting in the living room depicting the family history, its triumphs and tragedies. If you were to paint a mural on the wall in your room, what would it depict? A tragedy or a triumph? Something else that's important. Belonging. In that mural, there'd better be a picture of yourself, because you, father or not, unequivocally belong in the picture. You are the hero of your story. Belonging. If you're born, you belong here. It's that simple. If you're a father, it behooves you to put your best foot forward. Also, something I want to address here at the outset. I'm not a therapist or a marriage counselor. I'm not a legal authority. I'm just a father with a lot of fathering under his belt, and as such, I am prone to asking questions that arise from a mind that I hope is as curious as yours. Fatherhood is under here somewhere. So let's get on with it. My guest on this episode is Jeff, a fairly new arrival to Astoria, and a father of three. As always, I began by asking where he's from.
My name is Jeff. I usually go by Chef. I was actually born in Neodesha, Kansas.
Where, Kansas?
Neodesha.
Neodesha.
Yes. Oh. It's, how do I put it? If you're not from there, it's like hard to know, but it's over by like Topeka, Kansas, okay. And stuff like that.
Neodesha, is that an Indian name? Or
yeah, it is.
Yes.
Cherokee Indians, and I'm 14% Cherokee.
That offers you privileges, I imagine.
I'm not pursuing that.
Oh, you're
like,
not?
Yeah. Nah, it's not. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, do you have siblings?
I do. I have one brother and two sisters.
And you're the eldest?
Youngest.
Youngest.
Yep.
Okay. Tell me about your father. What was he like?
My father, I don't know much about him, but because he was in prison.
When you were born?
Just after I was born.
Just after you.
Okay. He was in prison for molesting children.
Was it a long sentence that he was serving?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It's complicated.
Well, you know, were you subject to abuse?
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of abuse were you subject to?
But physical, mental, and sexual.
Okay. The physical was beatings?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is from your father who was...
No, he wasn't there. It was mainly from my mom and my grandma.
Oh, okay. So you were raised essentially by a single mom and that's true, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was raised by a single mom. I'm going to leave it at this. She did the best with what she had. It took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
And back then, like, my mom, she had suicidal ideations. And so, like, how do you treat that back then in the 80s? They don't.
Yeah.
They didn't. So, like, for her to, you know, be able to have four kids. And
yeah, single mom. And was she medicated with something or?
No. She, not that I know of, was she ever medicated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So.
Now, the fact that you had a single mom, didn't that sort of drive you into a profession?
It did, yes, because, chores around the house, you know, mom's not there to do it. She's working. So, the kids have to help out, and in doing so, like, I started cooking when I was 8, and it led into a career of culinary.
Yeah.
So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. It's like, yeah. That's a success story. You know, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of success, like cooking for celebrities like John Legend, Reba McEntire, Brooks and Dunn.
Wow.
Zac Brown Band, stuff like that.
Wow. Now, how do you get gigs like that?
They just kind of fall into your lap.
Oh, really?
Like Zac Brown Band, I was at culinary school in Nashville, and they were filming for Food Network, the food truck race. Mm-hmm. And so they reached out to the culinary school to have students come help out, give them experience on a food truck and stuff like that while they were filming. You know, you don't get to be on camera, but you get to help out and stuff like that. And so I was one of the couple students that got to go do that and have some experience, and having Zac Brown Band just walk by and try my food, and they're just like, man, this is killer.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice little lucky coincidence there.
Yeah, yeah. And it happened like that for John Legend, too.
Yeah, so you've cooked all over the place.
Yeah, 48 states and 5 countries.
What countries?
USA, of course. Yeah. Canada, Mexico, Jamaica, and there's an island called Grand Cayman Islands.
Oh, yeah. Now, somewhere in all this, you got married.
Yes. I got married just recently in February.
In February.
Now,
let's go back. How long have you been in Astoria?
Oh, I've been in this Astoria area since late February, March.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, almost 5 months.
Okay, and you came from where?
I came from Camas, Washington.
Camas, okay. So, you know, basically local.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One paper mill to the next.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I got married just recently, but I've been married before and had some kids.
Yeah.
In that marriage.
Yeah. So tell me about that. What ages are the kids?
My oldest is... doing the math real quick. 14.
Okay.
Or 15. Okay. And then my son is 13, almost 14. And then my youngest will turn 10 this year.
Yeah. When was the last time you saw them?
Um, 2020.
That makes you sad.
Yeah.
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 What was the nature of the estrangement or the... the custody.
There was some infidelity, and it kind of put me in a mental loop spiral, and so I wasn't doing good mentally, and I wasn't stable or anything, and so I decided to try and drink bleach to end my life, and due to that. And not being stable and everything like that. Like, they were thinking of institutionalizing me. And unfortunately, I lost custody.
I see. That was... that must have been quite a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Hardest decision I've ever made in my life was leaving the area they were at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, saying goodbye to being able to see them every day. Or.
But inside you knew that... it was the right thing to do.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 I don't regret the decision I made to go on my mental health journey, because
that's excellent. Yeah.
Like, I have the rest of their lives to, you know, focus on them.
And you have the rest of your life to focus on you.
Yes. That as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 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 Well, the journey on focusing on yourself is fulfilling on its own.
Yes, you it's know, been very fulfilling.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it probably makes one a better person for reacquiring acquaintanceship with one's children.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have some acquaintance with addiction and the nature of it and what's required to try to overcome it. Mm-hmm. I say try to overcome it because I think it is an effort. People just don't, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. And that's not something that goes away.
Right. Right. So do you think the trauma, the PTSD, the disarray have effects on characteristics in your personality you know.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely agree.
Yeah. Like, how does it manifest?
For me, I self-isolate. Mm-hmm. And when I self-isolate, like, I shut down. Mm-hmm. Everything shuts down. You know, I'm not a violent person, so mm-hmm. I don't have that. I don't lash out. Other than, like, if I get frustrated with myself, I'll hurt myself, but mm-hmm. that's from growing up. Mm-hmm. The perfectionism and growing up.
Perfectionism is a real bugaboo.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. But I mean, it's been very useful for me in culinary. Mm-hmm. Being a perfectionist, like mm-hmm. having your P's and Q's, mm-hmm. everything lined up makes it really easy.
And it's very similar to, I'm the same way, and it's very similar to punctuality.
Yes.
I have a thing about punctuality.
My rule on punctuality, and I tell this at work all the time, if I'm 15 minutes early, I'm 15 minutes late.
Yeah. You're on a journey of self-awareness, and apparently you've done a very good job in looking at all these aspects that surround your life. And I wonder if there are other elements of concern that have emerged in your life that you're not ready to care for. You know, I mean, some things are so large that they have to be put in abeyance, or mm-hmm. sometimes they're just so small that you put them in abeyance because you know you can deal with it. But I guess what I'm asking is there something in the future? Is there a wall in the future that you have to climb over?
Oh, yeah. Right now I'm looking at what it takes to open consumption lounges, cannabis consumption lounges.
Okay.
Specifically, it's part my job, mm-hmm. being a bud tender, but also like mentally and socially for myself, I don't have a place to go because I'm an alcoholic, so mm-hmm. I can't go to bars, mm-hmm. but I don't have a place to go and socialize and meet, you know, local people, like-minded people, mm-hmm. You know, or I don't have a place I can hang out and go play pool or anything like that that's not surrounded by stuff that would be triggering for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, the current hurdle I'm facing is the Clean Air Act. Mm. It's preventing people from wanting to open up a lounge because you can't smoke inside, and majority of people are going to want to smoke.
Have you looked into the cigar industry?
Yes.
Smoking lounges?
I've been, the problem with that is like, they know that opening a cigar club is basically a lounge for marijuana, and so they're kind of frowning on that. Mm. And so I don't want to
disguise it.
Yeah, I don't want to disguise it. I want it to be what it is. Yeah. You know, like
make it legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to beat around the bush and have undercover stuff going on.
Right.
But yeah, currently I'm in talks with Tina Kotek.
Yes, the governor.
Yeah, we're seeing what we can do. I'm propositioning, like, try, you know, one club, see how it affects, you know, the local area, see how much boost, if it's a pro or a con for the mm-hmm. local people, mm-hmm. and to see if we can go from there, maybe opening it up to across the state or something. But
yeah, now do you have, are you doing this alone? Do you have support?
Right now, currently, I am doing it alone. I do have some support from my coworkers and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But the majority of this probably will be doing it alone because it's a lot of behind-the-scenes work and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that can be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially without money.
Yeah. 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 Money's... I'm not too worried about the funding because as soon as the law gets changed, like I can go to a different industry leaders and just be like, look, I've got this potential that we can do.
Mm. Yeah, it's attractive to them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because, I mean, one, you're showcasing their product and they're live trying your product, you know?
That's true.
So it's good for businesses.
It sounds like you're embarking on a new chapter.
Yes, I hope so. Being a chef and a food scientist. Yeah. Like, I got burnt out really hard in the industry. So, like, I'm looking for things to do that plays with those same things. Mm-hmm. Like, here in the near future, I'm going to be playing with like science and temperatures of different terpene levels and see how each terpene affects my body and stuff like that. Just doing a self-check and just having fun with it.
Yeah, write it all down and, you know, keep a journal. And,
oh, yeah, I've got journals. Yeah. I've got chef journals and regular journals.
Chef journals. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
What's in a chef journal?
Everything you can think of. Like
the knives you used and the...
Yeah, you... Like, I'll write, hey, bought a new set of knives. This knife is a Windorf or whatever, you know. And so then I'll write, hey, it's got a good balance in the flow, you know, pretty sharp, stuff like that. Keeps the sharpness. But it's got other things like, oh, I have an idea for a recipe. Like, local to Westport, they have this mustard. It's Marionberry whole grain mustard. And so I'm wanting to play with that a little bit, putting on some pork on the grill and stuff like that. Wow. Yeah.
What's your outlook on the mental health efforts being made locally in the community? I guess what I want to ask is, how hard is it to be optimistic? I mean, do you have enough support? Do you have a sense of belonging to a...
I'm actually... Mental health has been getting better. Back when I tried to commit suicide, they just treated me like a drug addict. And that was very like...
This was where?
This was back in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
And so like they just kind of write you off like you're not even human at that point. And it's very demoralizing when you're already going through it. It's like, wow, what is even the point? These people don't even want me here. But it's been getting a lot better. Currently, in the local area, I'm actually looking for my new therapist and stuff like that. And so I'm getting plugged into the local area itself.
Do you want to be a chef again?
Yeah, maybe one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Like, it'd be nice to host... like dinner parties, more casual event than
so like, to have an establishment that you have to run.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cause, like my anxiety won't let me do it anymore.
Right.
Just once that ticket printer goes off, it's, I start spiraling and it's not good.
Yeah. You know, triggers, you know, what kind of triggers do you have for various things?
In the kitchen, the ticket printer is a big trigger.
Yeah.
Only because, like, you can only hear it for so long before you're just like, I can't do this anymore. And it's sometimes it just seems like it nonstop prints.
Okay.
You know? But other than that, cooking-wise, I don't have too many triggers.
Okay.
Like, I feel pretty, like, that's my comfortable spot, you know?
Okay, okay.
When I'm...
How about in the world?
Any more than six people, and I start getting very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm a, I call it this. I'm what I call a naturalist, is I won't perform for anybody. I am who I am, and take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So, big groups, I do get stressed out, though, because...
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's like, is everyone watching you? What are, you know, got all those intrusive thoughts.
Do you want to get custody back, or are your kids, better off without you, do you think? How do they feel about you?
This is the part where it gets hard.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to get custody back one day, but unfortunately, like before, I think they're going to be of age before I'm ready.
Adults.
And so it'll... Like, do I think they're better off without me right now? As hard as it is to say, yeah.
Yeah, it may be. Yeah. You want their best interest, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How they feel about it, I don't know. Because last time I got to talk to them was 2 years ago. And, like, we weren't on good terms. But... like sometimes I'll get a message from my daughter or something. Like she has to hide the messages to get a message to me from her mom or whatever. But she'll just say, "Hey, I'm struggling." She doesn't know how to reach out for help, so she reaches out to me.
Help for what?
Mental health.
Oh, okay.
She's got a lot of the same problems I have.
I see.
And I'm like, it's hard to tell her, "Hey, baby girl, I'm trying to deal with it myself. I don't know how to help you."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think there's a genetic link to this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Just like there's probably a genetic link to addiction.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that fully.
Do you have any advice for parents who've lost custody of their children and to, you know, not go crazy over it?
Biggest thing I can say is, just be patient with yourself. Like this, whatever happened to put you in that situation happened. You can't change that. So no use beating yourself up over it, but you can change the future. So just, you know, focus on working on yourself, whatever situation you're in for that you need to rectify it in your mind. Work with due diligence on that and just try your best. That's all you can do.
That's great. Jeff, thank you for being a guest on Father Figures. It's been a pleasure.
It has. It's been a really good pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can change the future. So just, you know, focus on working on yourself, whatever situation you're in for that you need to rectify it in your mind. Work with due diligence on that and just try your best. That's all you can do.
Who among us has not felt fragile, on the brink, the edge? For most of us, the stakes of such fragility are different from what Jeff experienced. For him, it was life and death. For most of us, fragility does not include the flavor of Clorox. At that moment, when Jeff drank bleach, he was at the low point of courage. Life has its emotional seasons, and a few of us have some powerfully rough winters. Then there are always the tornadoes of spring, summer heat, and hurricanes. Every season has its deadly elements. After a few rough seasons, a person can buckle or even suffer permanent injury. Or there's the other extreme. A person can become a storm chaser. Maybe the thing to be is not a storm chaser, but a storm rider outer. That's something to aspire to, but I think it's harder than it sounds. Storms are not unusual. They come in many forms in our lives, throughout the seasons of our lives. Someone you know, if not yourself, has probably gone through separation and divorce, custody battles, infidelities, or worse. And these storms leave damage in their wake, like shame and guilt, loneliness, depression, and anxiety. Bad storms bring on worse damage, like suicidal ideation and self-harm. Now imagine that you were unlucky enough to go through every one of these experiences and then some. Each one is a significant loss, out of one's control. And there you are. We have Jeff. Which brings me once again to courage. What is it? It seems to be in a hierarchy of values. Do you have it already inside you, struggling to get out? How do you get it? Maybe we can learn it if we practice bravery. I think courage is the result of bravery practiced. And bravery is a skill to be honed, exercised. Bravery is the skill of willingness. And the practice of bravery dissipates fear. Jeff is on a mental health journey, aren't we all, where all of these elements are in play, and luckily for him, he's found some stability. His forthcomingness is a big step in being a better father. Can you imagine how difficult that might be after a childhood of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse? A big question that I face is, how do we summon courage, and how do we know it has arrived? Where does it come from, and what does it do? Well, it creates confidence. And that's the thing, the goal, the brass ring, confidence. So think about being a confident father in the face of the life Jeff has had. Because of this, and because it's difficult to fit such an experience into a single episode, we're going to be featuring Jeff again in the next episode. I'm not interested in the prurient details of what happened. I want to know about his reactions to what went on, his resultant behaviors, and how these events changed his outlook on life and family, and what wisdom he has to offer all of us about the whole schmear. And then we have to talk about burnout. Have you ever been burned out? I have. I think I may be right now. I need and want to say a few words here, now that we've passed the one-year anniversary of Father Figures. First, my thanks to KMUN for saying yes to this show. This station is a beacon of local wisdom that offers unique glimpses into how we live here on the Lower Columbia. Also, there are no words to adequately express my gratitude to all the men, women, and children whom I've had the pleasure and privilege to interview. Each has been genuine and forthcoming, offering true insights into their lives and feelings. From the first interview with Tessa James Scheller to the last one with Jeff, I feel the deep responsibility to handle their stories with delicacy and respect. When I sit in front of the computer and edit, I know I hold their lives in my hands, and I endeavor to present them honestly in an environment of as much safety as I can muster. To all of you who've said yes to the microphone, I offer my unending thanks, and I hope your journeys, fatherly and otherwise, are the smoothest sailings possible. I hope you'll be able to listen to the next episode of Father Figures, because we'll be getting a little deeper into the life of Chef Jeff and his experiences. What I hope to learn about, in an interview that hasn't taken place yet, is how courage and fragility can coexist. So stay tuned. And on that note, I will say thanks once again to Jeff for being forthcoming, generous, and gracious. And thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics.com for the music on the show. If you'd like to get in touch, shoot me an email at RadioRanchero@gmail.com. And I thank you for listening to this episode of Father Figures. And remember, the days may be terribly long, but the years are short. Bye-bye.
Can change the future. So just, you know, focus on working on yourself, whatever situation you're in for that you need that to rectify it in your mind. Work with due diligence on that, and just try your best. That's all you can do.